Hi, my name is Andrew Connell, and in this brief video, I'm going to walk you through the sample Office 365 development patterns and practices called core.appscriptpart. In an effort to help customers address the most impactful and useful scenarios, the Office 365 development patterns and practices group has created a number of code samples that complete common customer scenarios. The code is published in a public GitHub repository located at https://github.com/officedev/pnp, and it contains solution packs of content as well as sample packs of sample code that has been reviewed by the Office 365 team and blessed as a recommended way to approach these different scenarios. This sample shows how to add and use an app script part in SharePoint. This app script is using JavaScript, and it's going to load it from a provider-hosted app in order to build up the UI in SharePoint. This pattern is commonly used in the industry to integrate two different systems together. They use JavaScript embedding capabilities so that JavaScript provided by one provider can be embedded in the product of another provider. This allows one product to interact and interface and surface capabilities from another product. Some examples for doing this are embedding things within Yammer or embedding interactive maps from Google or Bing into your SharePoint site. This is going to give us a much more seamless and dynamic integration option than using iframes that we typically have in app parts. It also means that we can have a web part that is added to the web part gallery. That web part already knows how to reference the specific JavaScript in the external system so that it can provide a very easy user interface for our end users to just drag and drop web parts in the web part gallery right into onto the pages to create these dynamic mashup capabilities. This scenario is going to show you how to modify the host web by adding a new option that's going to be your app script part. The app script part is an out-of-the-box script web part, which has been configured by default to use a JavaScript file that is living in an external site. In our case, it's going to be in the external remote web for our provider-hosted app. Let's see the sample in action. So let's take a minute and look at the solution in the code and how everything works that's provided in this sample. What I've done is I've opened up the solution in Visual Studio. Now, I went in into the app project, which is just the core.appscript.part project. That's the one I have highlighted. And I changed the start URL to point to my SharePoint developer site in Office 365. So I'll just go ahead and click the start button, package and deploy this project. Now that the app has been deployed and now I'm trying to install it, as I go ahead and I'll click the Trust It button to go ahead and to add the permissions to my app that are going to be required. Once the app has been installed, it's going to take me to the start page for my host site. Now let's go ahead and let's click the button Run Scenario, which is going to add an app script part to the host web. What this is going to do is create a new web part and provision it into the web part gallery. I'll then be able to add that web part to any of my pages in the host web. So let's go back to our host web. And let's say on the start page for this site, let's go ahead and add our new web part. So I'll go ahead and click Insert. And we'll look for a web part. Specifically my app script part. You see it says user profile information. If I go ahead and click add, it adds some information about me on the web on the page. Now the way it did that is it actually added a part to the page, a web part to the page, that then is referencing a JavaScript file that lives inside my remote web. Let's take a look and see how this works. I'm gonna go ahead and remove this web part from this page first. And then I'll save my changes and close it out. So let's go over here to Visual Studio and see what happened. First, inside of the project itself for my app, we can see it's a provider-hosted app that's pointing to the default page inside of my remote web. If I look at the default.aspx page inside of my remote web, there's nothing really fancy here aside from the fact that we see a button. If we look at the code behind for this, and I open up the .cs file, let's skip past the page pre-init and the page load, and let's look at the button click and see what happens. After obtaining a client context, I'm then going to get a reference to the WebPart gallery on my parent site. Next, I'm going to read in the contents of a .webpart file that is inside of my remote web. So if I open this up, there's my WebPart file right here, this .webpart file sitting right in the root. I'm then going to use a file creation information object to create a new file and stream it into SharePoint. So here I'll pass in the content stream is equal to the contents of the file that I just read in. I'm going to set it to overwrite, and then I'm going to specify the URL of the file that I want to create. And then I'll just say to create a new file object, getting a reference to that file by going to the files collection and saying add the file creation information object. Now, I wouldn't have to do this normally inside of a fully trusted code project. This is how I do it in the app model. In a fully trusted code, I wouldn't have to use this file creation information object. Instead, I can just create a web part using a feature and provision that file using a module into the web part gallery. Just directly do it. This way, I'm having to actually create the file and stream it across. Next, I'm going to update the group for the web part that I just provisioned into the web part gallery. This is something that I could set when I provisioned the file if I was doing fully trusted code, but when I'm streaming the file in using the client object model, I can't do that. So in this case here, I'm getting a reference to the web part gallery, and then I'm getting reference to all the items in the web part gallery. So I'll walk through all of these different items. I'm looking for the file that matches the name of the file that I just provisioned, the user profile information object. I'll then set his group to be the app script part, and then I'll save my changes. Now, that's all that this really does, but let's take a look at the actual .webpart file. If I look at the .webpart file, what this thing is doing is you see here that in the content, it's adding in a script tag, and the source of the script tag is pointing to the URL of my remote web. So that's something you'd want to change and if you were using this on in production. And I'm pointing to this userinformation.js file. This JS file obviously lives inside my remote web. Well, if I look at that user information file, what that user information file is doing is it's using the SharePoint client object model, specifically the user profile piece of the social API in the client object model, to get some information about the current user. And then it just takes that information and it writes it out to the page. It also ensures that the client object model for the social API part of the CSOM has been added to the page. And again, to get the code for all of the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices group, make sure you go to GitHub at github.com/officedev/PMP. If you want to discuss these different samples, ask questions, and interact with the team, they have a dedicated group in the Office 365 technical network in Yammer. Just go to yammer.com/ITProNetwork and look for the group called O365 Dev Patterns and Practices.